The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, thank you for joining us today. I hope that you enjoy your time with us. We're going to be talking about marriage and relationships, and basically the marriage relationship. And you know, some of you may not be married, but to be honest, even if you're not married, sometimes the best time to get teaching on marriage is before you get married. Because a lot of times people don't think about that, and then they have all these problems maybe could have been avoided if they would have done a little more studying before they got into the relationship. And so I guess I'd like to just open with this statement. Relationships can be very challenging. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
And especially the marriage relationship can be challenging because you're with that person all the time. And going to lunch with a friend is quite different than being married to somebody for 50 years. And Dave and I have been married 50 years. And I can say that during that period of time, God has changed me a lot. And it's probably a good thing, because if I wouldn't have let him do that, I probably wouldn't still be married today. And so I want to start out by talking to you about what are your expectations when you get married. If you're not married yet, what is it that you're expecting? Or if you are married, what do you expect from the person that you're married to? I think one of the things in our lives that gives us a lot of problems is just having unrealistic expectations. You know, when you're expecting somebody to give you something they don't know how to give you, or to maybe understand something about you that they could not possibly understand, especially if you're expecting somebody to make you happy all the time. And I do think a lot of people, when they get married with the idea that now you're going to make me happy all the time. And first of all, you know, some of the things that you feel when you're dating somebody is totally different than the way you feel, you know, after you've been married for a while. And so there's a lot of excitement and goosebumps and all those things. You know, it's almost like, you know, the chase is different than when you actually get what you want. For example, I didn't know when I married Dave that he played golf. I didn't even know that. And of course, you've heard all my golf stories, my funny stories. I mean, I didn't know that he was as crazy about sports as he is. You know, that those were not, he wasn't focusing on that. At that time, he was focusing on me. I was like the only, the most important thing in his life. However, we'd been married about a week when he told me that he was going to go out and hit shag balls, which that happens to be what guys that are serious about golf do to practice. Well, his whole family was coming over to see our new little apartment, and because of the way I was raised, I wasn't really comfortable with the whole family situation anyway. And so I couldn't believe that he was going to go out and hit shag balls and leave me there to do all this work by myself. Thus, we had our first argument over golf. And it certainly was not the last, but it was the first. And I just think it's interesting, as much as he loves all kinds of sports, and especially golf, that we got married and I didn't even know that he played golf. So just trust me when I say you are going to find out some things after you're married that you did not know before you got married. And that doesn't mean they're all bad. You'll find out a lot of good things too. But do as much as you can to get to know as much as you possibly can about the person that you're going to marry before you get married. So what are you expecting from your relationships? This works also with friendship, but we're going to talk mainly about marriage today. What are you expecting? Are you expecting this other person to keep you happy all the time? Well, you know, it was a great day for me, and I'm sure for Dave, when God spoke to my heart and instructed me that I was to stop giving Dave the responsibility of keeping me happy. He said, your joy is your own responsibility. It's not somebody else's responsibility. And I do think in relationships that we really think this other person is supposed to keep us happy all the time. They're supposed to make us feel good about ourselves all the time. But to be honest, if you don't already have a sense of confidence, if you don't already feel good about yourself, then there's no human being in your life that is ever going to be successful at making you feel good about yourself all the time. And I can tell you, it wears people out. Being married to somebody that is extremely insecure can just absolutely wear people out. Because if you don't feel good about yourself, if you don't have a sense of God's love and who you are in Him, and if you don't know how to be an individual, then you're constantly looking for somebody else to make you feel good, to make you feel successful, to make you feel confident, to make you feel secure. And it's like you're expecting something that they're not going to give you, because to be honest, no matter who you marry, now I know this is going to be shocking, but I have to say this, they are not going to be focused on you all the time. Isn't that surprising? They don't have you on their mind all the time. They're not going to be focused on you all the time. But when a person is really lacks confidence, like for example, if a woman is insecure and she makes a new meal, if the man, the kids, whatever, don't rave about how good it is, she's going to automatically assume that it's not good and they didn't like it. You know, where a person who has confidence may taste it and say, this is really great, and they don't necessarily have to have somebody else confirming to them all the time that everything they do is good. That doesn't mean that we shouldn't compliment each other, but if you have to have that, then it's kind of equivalent to a drug addict needing a fix. It's like you constantly expect somebody else to fix you, to keep you fixed all the time, and it just wears them absolutely out. So are you expecting the person that you're married to always be there for you when you're hurting, to always understand what you're going through? Let me tell you something. There's only one person that can ever understand any of us, and that's Jesus. And I am grateful that the Bible says that we have a high priest who understands. It goes on to talk about our weaknesses and our infirmities, but He understands each of us in our own little brand of weirdness, and trust me, we all have a certain amount of that. And so I guess one of the things that Dave and I had a number of arguments over the years was I wanted, no matter what I told him I was going through, I wanted him to sit and listen to every single solitary word, and I wanted him to understand. But he didn't. And most of us know very few men understand women anyway. I mean, women don't even understand themselves. And so, you know, but you can at least go to another woman and say, my hormones are all off today. And they get it. It's like, oh, man, I know how you feel. Well, you tell a man that, and he just thinks, you're what? What is that, you know? And so I've told Dave, and over the years it's become a joke, I said, even if you don't understand, please tell me that you do, because it's going to make the rest of the day go good. And so now it's like a joke. No matter what I tell him, he'll say, I understand. And I'm like, no, you don't, but it sounds good anyway. And so, I mean, don't you think that a lot of times that's, we want to be understood. We want to feel like that people really understand what we're going through. But to be honest, I mean, I was even talking to somebody this morning. I'm like, you know, I never, ever, ever was bothered with seasonal allergies until about 3 years ago. Well, when people told me they were suffering with allergies, it just went right over my head, you know. But now I get it because I have it. And so you really can't totally understand what anybody else is going through if it's not what you go through. Amen? So the next thing I want to say is always enter relationships and every relationship with the idea of giving rather than getting. And the thing is our mindset, the direction we set our mind in, has so much to do with the way things turn out in our life. I'll give you an example. I said to Dave, I know a year or two ago, I said, because I know how much, you know, he enjoys playing golf, and you know, Dave is very healthy, and so that's all good. But I said, how do you think you would be if you ever, for some reason, got to the point where you couldn't play golf? And I thought the answer he gave me really describes my husband very well. He said, well, I've actually already thought about that, and I've set my mind that even if that happens, I can still be just as happy as I am right now. And see, we all need to have this mindset that my joy is not dependent on how you act, because if it is, now I'm codependent on your behavior. And so we're easily controlled by whatever's going on around us, because to be honest, we have no control over how somebody else is going to act all the time. I can't control how, thankfully Dave is very stable, and so that's been an extreme blessing to me in my life, because I grew up around people that weren't stable. But if I was married to somebody that maybe had more ups and downs, you know, then I would have to make my mind up. First of all, it's not my fault, because a lot of times if people around you aren't happy, then you take the responsibility of fixing them, and boy, that's another whole nightmare all on its own. And so I just had to learn that I can't give somebody else the responsibility for my joy, and we need to always make sure that we know who we are enough that we're not going to be codependent on somebody else and take responsibility for what we need to do. Can anybody say amen or oh me? Or? So always enter relationships with the thought of giving rather than taking. And basically, to tell you the truth, every single day of your life, every day. I did it just this morning. You know, because we all have a tendency to be focused on us. What can you do for me? How can you make me happy? How can I get you to do what I want you to do? Can we eat where I want to eat? You know, on and on and on. And so I make that a habit. I don't say that I do it every day, but I spent time this morning, and not just because I was coming in here to teach on marriage, but I purposely set my mind to be focused on what can I do for other people today. Because I've learned that if I'm focused on me, I'm not happy. And so the way we set our mind, the direction we set our mind in, is very important. So when you get married, if your mind is set and made up that this person's supposed to keep you happy all the time, boy, you've just already signed up for a disaster. But if you set your mind, I want to give, you know, I want to make this other person happy. What can I do for them that will make them happy? And if you do that, then the very act of giving gives joy in your life. Where if we go at a relationship with what can I get, what can I get, then every time we don't get something, we're unhappy. And so, you know, Dave is not a man that requires a lot. He's a very stable man. He's very happy. But I don't care who you are, you like it when people give you what you want. And so it's important to learn the person that you're in relationship with and what actually are they motivated by, what blesses them. My husband loves peace. If you keep it peaceful, Dave is happy. He doesn't like arguing. He doesn't like complicated discussions. He doesn't care about getting real deep into every little feeling that somebody has and what's going on. Now, I could sit and talk about that stuff all day, but that's not him. Dave wants peace. So I purpose to try to give him peace. And I know that Dave's love language is time. So if he's trying to tell me something and talk to me about something, even if it doesn't interest me, I'm still learning, and I'll say still learning because it's not my number one gift. I'm still learning to really listen and pay attention. Where I love it when he does things for me. Like, he does the dishes almost every night, and I love that. So you have to kind of stop trying to give people what you want and what you like and just be in the relationship for what I can get. But actually, the whole act of love, which we are commanded as Christians to do, is to think about what can I give you, not what can you give me. And so then the selfish nature says, well, then what's going to happen to me? Well, then God takes care of us. So let me just say now, after 50 years of marriage, I can tell you, and I feel very strongly about this, I don't think the way the world is today, there's much hope of anybody getting married and staying married very long if you're not going to be committed to doing things the way that God would want you to do them. And sadly, a lot of Christians aren't. You know, just because we go to church doesn't mean that we're saying yes to God on a regular basis. And so anybody who will commit to doing their part to do what's right before God, God will reward you. And there's a much greater chance that He will make the changes in the other person that needs to be made if you just do what's right before Him and stop trying to make that other person give you what you want. So enter relationships with the thought of giving, not getting. Make sure you have your mind set in the right direction. You might as well just set your mind and say, you know, I'm not going to get my way every day, and I can be happy anyway. Instead of thinking, well, if I don't get my way, then I can't be happy. Dave and I are going out to eat today after we're done here, and where I wanted to go, he didn't want to go. And where he wanted to go, I didn't want to go. And I can remember when that would have ruined my day and just, you know, I mean, that wouldn't have ruined my day. I would have ruined my day because it's my decision whether I want to get unhappy or not. And so, you know, we just picked a place that we could both put up with. It's probably not my favorite, but you know what I have learned? There's nothing worth losing your peace over. There's nothing worth losing your peace over. And I guess if I would say anything, if I could come up with just a couple of things that have really helped me personally over the 50 years Dave and I have been married, it's being committed to peace and not making a big issue out of little things that really don't make that much difference. I mean, it's one lunch, it's one meal. I mean, if I don't get to go where I want to go, it's not really worth being upset over. And not only that, most of the time Dave will take me wherever I want to go, but today where I wanted to go is just not a restaurant that he really cares for. Well, you know, then naturally, I don't know, well, why don't you like it? I mean, the food is good. He's like, I don't like it. And so then where he wanted to go, he said, well, it's a great restaurant. How can you not like it? I said, I don't like it. And so we just finally picked a place that we could both decide to do right. Next big mistake you can make is planning to try to change the person. Especially like if you notice some things before you get married and you're thinking, oh, I can change that. I'll work on that. Well, let me tell you something. I tried every way that I could try to get Dave not to like sports. No reason other than selfishness. I didn't care about him. I didn't grow up getting to do any of that. My father never liked any kind of sports. We didn't have them on television. We didn't go to, I mean, none of that was part of our life. And so it's just not anything that I really am going to put my time into. So I didn't want him to like it, but I can tell you the truth, the more you try to get somebody not to do something, the more they're going to want to do it. I mean, that whole principle is found in the Bible about the law. That's why the law caused people to sin more, not less. And God did that on purpose to show people that they needed a Savior. So the more you try to make somebody not do something, the more they're probably going to want to do it. And actually today, Dave loves all kinds of sports that he didn't even like when we got married. I mean, he's added things that he doesn't even play. Like now he watches tennis all the time. He doesn't play tennis. You know, he'll watch a bowling tournament on TV, and that, you know, that has nothing to do with anything. But you know what? Now I'm just, has nothing to do with anyway what I'd like him to be interested in. But Dave is not, he's not a real aggressive man. His personality is not real aggressive. He always said, you're always ahead of God. And I said, yeah, and you're 10 miles behind him. And so here we have these two people that are married, and I'm just real aggressive, and he's not as aggressive. And so I tried to get him to be more aggressive, and I would say to him, you know, you need to be more of this, and you need to be more of that. And you know how awful it is, how it makes a person feel if you're constantly giving them messages that they're less than what you want them to be? You need to be this, you need to do that, especially if it's not something they even know how to do. And I'll never forget the day he said to me, he said, you better thank God that I am the way I am, because if I wasn't, you sure wouldn't be doing what you're doing. And so I just want to remind you today that there's a really good possibility, no matter what you think, that the person that you married is really perfect for you. I didn't expect anybody to clap, but that's all right. you can't pressure somebody to be something that they're not. Now, you know, what we focus on is what develops more and more in our life. So if I focus on what I don't like about somebody, then pretty soon that's all I see. Amen? Amen. But if I focus on what I do like, most of the time you'll find out, no matter how bad you think your relation is, most of the time you will find out if you focus on what you do like, there's probably a lot more that you like than what you don't like. I love the fact that Dave is peaceful. I love the fact that he's easy to get along with. I love the fact that he just lets me be me. If I went to Dave and said, which I've done, like, what would you like to change about me? You know, if I could change something, what would you like me to change so you could be happier? He said, nothing. I like you just the way you are. And so if you had asked me that question 30 years ago, I probably had a written list already. I mean, because I actually remember times when I sat down and made a list of everything that I thought Dave needed to change for me to be happy. Well, I know that there are things. I mean, Dave couldn't possibly like everything about me. I know that because I already know what my weaknesses are and some of the things that nobody would want to put up with if that was all they focused on. And I know that there are things about Dave that I probably don't care for, but to be honest, if you ask me that now, I would have to think a really long time to come up with it. You know why? Not because it's not there, but I don't focus on it. And so if you think about, like, a Polaroid camera, I could take a picture of anything in here today that I wanted to, depending on where I focused the camera. And then whatever I focused on would develop in my life. And I'm telling you the truth, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. What you focus on your problems, pretty soon you're going to think that you've got the worst life in the whole world, because all you're going to see is your problems. But if you focus on your blessings, that gives God an opportunity then to work on the problems. And so if you're in a relationship with somebody and they do a lot of things that you don't like, pray for them. Pray about those things. And make sure when you pray that you do it with an attitude of humility. I never go and say, God, this needs to change in Dave. I'll pray more like this. Now, God, I would like this to change, but maybe it's not even the problem I think it is. It may just be my attitude. And so, first of all, I want you to change anything in me that needs to be changed. And if this is something that needs to change in Dave, then I'm asking you to change it and to help me focus on all the good things, not on the things that are an issue. And so if I would tell you two things that I think has probably helped me in my marriage with Dave more than anything, it's number one, to focus on the good things and not focus on everything that I think is wrong, to accept him the way he is and believe that God has given me the right man for me. And I know that now. I didn't know that in the very beginning. And then the other thing that helps me, oh, this helps me so much, is I am committed to peace. I mean, I'm really committed to peace. Now, I'm not going to just let somebody walk all over me to have peace. I'm not going to not confront things that I feel need to be confronted. But I'd like to leave you with this thought. This came to me this morning. The next time that you think you want to talk to somebody about something that you think is wrong with them, before you do it, pray and ask God if it's something that he really wants you to talk to them about. Most of the time, he's going to tell you to deal with your own self and leave them alone. Now, there are times that we need to communicate with people about things that they're doing or not doing that, you know, maybe need to change just out of respect for proper kind of relationship. But even then, I don't think you ever should just go talk to somebody because you want to talk to them. Or that you should just, we're going to talk about this right now. And doesn't matter to me if you just got home from work and you're sweaty and tired and had a rough day and been in traffic for 3 hours. We're going to talk about this right now. Well, you're not going to get a good answer. So if you do need to talk about something, the best thing to do is to pray about the right timing. Pray if it's something you really should talk about, And if it is, then do it with an attitude of humility. And then God can get involved and do what needs to be done. Here's the bottom line. What sense does it make to be in relationships with somebody that you have a sour attitude about, that you have all these negative thoughts about, that you're miserable with? There's no point in spending day after day after day like that. And there's ways that we can change it. Let me just say this. I believe that because of our relationship with God, we're powerful people. We're not powerless people. We are powerful people. And a powerful person doesn't give somebody else the responsibility for making them feel secure and making them happy all the time. You can receive the power of Jesus into your life at any given time to do what He's asking you to do and not have to just do what you feel like doing. So let's be committed to having good marriages. Don't ever have this attitude, well, if this continues, I'm out of here. Because you've already got your mindset in the wrong direction and you're waiting for this person to do one more thing that aggravates you so you can then have an excuse to leave. What you need to say is, I'm committed to this. There's no way that I would leave unless God Himself told me to leave. I'm going to do what I believe God wants me to do, because when our time here on earth is over, I'm only going to answer to God and I'm only going to answer for me. So if I do what's right, then God will take care of the rest of it. Well, today we're offering two teachings on marriage, and they're on CD and DVD. And what that means is you'll get a CD and a DVD of each teaching. So you can listen going to work, you can watch in your home, you can buy them as a gift for your spouse. I think you're going to enjoy these. And we're offering it to you today for your gift to the ministry of any amount. This is a great thing to give young people that are getting married. What a great gift for somebody who's getting married. Instead of thinking, well, I just know what to give them. Well, give them the Word, believe me. They'll thank you for it in due time. And it's a good way for you to get some good uplifting teaching and a way for you at the same time to be able to be a blessing to the ministry. We want everybody to have it, and so therefore we're not putting any specific price on it. All I want you to do is do the very best that you can. And just remember that we love you, God loves you, and He wants you to have a great life. You know, marriage can be fulfilling and challenging at the same time. Throughout 50 years of marriage, Dave and I have experienced a lot. So today I'm going to answer your questions about marriage from what God's Word says and share from our experiences. Well, Ginger, I guess you got a lot of good questions.
We have so many good questions. These are coming from our viewers. And these, I think, will be so helpful to anyone watching this to apply to their own situation.
Good, good.
We're going to hit every topic. And then we have an audience with us here today.
Yeah.
So we'll see if any of these questions relate to all of you and your lives, too. So, all right. Here's a great one to start with. This is from Tracy in South Dakota.
Okay.
And she has a two-part question. If you could tell wives just one thing about marriage, what would it be? And if you could tell husbands one thing about marriage that they should know, what would it be?
Well, I think probably the first thing that comes to me is be committed to making the other person happy. Be committed to encouraging them and edifying them.
Is that for wives or for husbands?
Well, it's
I'm thinking it's for husbands.
Yeah. Actually, to be honest, if we would do a lot, if we would be committed to doing a lot less complaining and fault finding, how much difference would our relationships make?
Yeah.
And so I think really that's a big key for either one. There's nobody that doesn't want to be made to feel better about themselves. I like the statement that when you're with somebody, they may not always remember what you said, but they will remember how you made them feel.
That's good. Yeah, great place to start. All right, here is a question that I think is very interesting because it has to do with longevity, and you've been married 50 years now, so that's quite an accomplishment. Linda asks, when you've been married for a long time, and in Linda's situation, she says over 25 years, what can you do to stop taking each other for granted? How can you restore those feelings that you had when you were first married?
I think it's something you have to do on purpose. Anybody who thinks that a marriage is just gonna be good and stay good without putting any effort into it is foolish. I mean, one of the things that I think that anybody can do is learn to listen to the other person and try to give them what they're telling you mm-hmm. that they want.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of times when you start to take somebody for granted, you even stop little pleasantries like thank you, please, and everything just becomes a taking it for granted that mm-hmm. they should do that for you. And so I think really it's not really complicated. It's just a matter of continuing to work at the relationship. And really, if we go back to what we call the golden rule, and I think about this often, it really is the key to pretty much every good relationship. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah, so that's great. I'm curious, how many of you in the audience have been married, let's say 10 years or more? So a lot, yeah. So is it okay to understand that some of those new relationship feelings are gonna fade a little bit, that relationship is gonna change?
Absolutely. You know, to be honest, I mean, I don't get goosebumps when Dave walks in the house now. And maybe somebody still does, but you know, I mean, there's a certain amount of everything that you're gonna kind of begin to take for granted just because you get used to it.
Yeah.
And so that's why I still will purposely think about what is it that I really love about my husband. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I like the fact that he takes good care of himself. I mean, Dave's still pretty much, you know, other than having aged, he still looks pretty much the same way as he did when we got married. He still would wear the same size clothes. He's clean and neat and tidy, and he's easygoing. He's peace-loving. He lets me be me. He loves me the way I am. And if you think about the things that you like about somebody,
right,
it's really going to really outweigh the things that you don't like.
Yeah. All right, this is from Tanel from Texas. She says, you say that your husband is not responsible for your happiness and fulfillment, but I have a hard time not depending on him for that. So how do I free myself and him from certain expectations?
Well, I think that you know, if that's something that you really have an issue with, and just knowing that you shouldn't do it is not working for you, then you just have to go to God and keep asking him to give you the grace to do that, and even to think about, how would you feel if somebody else was putting that responsibility on you all the time?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never feel like that it's my job to have to keep Dave happy.
Yeah.
Because first of all, he is happy. And so I think a good place to start is, well, if you need somebody else to keep you happy all the time, then what's lacking maybe in your own life?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything, Ginger, comes down to, do you have a good relationship with God? And do you have a good relationship with yourself?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to be honest, if you really have a good relationship with yourself and you're not feeling guilty and condemned all the time because you're not this, that, or something else, it brings a joy and a contentment into your life that keeps you from needing somebody else to fix you all the time. Now, I don't mean to say that mm-hmm. we shouldn't expect some things from people. You know, anybody in a relationship, I mean, I expect certain things from you, you expect certain things from me. Any relationship you're in, you know, you expect certain things from people. But if it gets beyond what is normal, mm-hmm. then you're gonna have real, real issues.
Yeah. Okay, this comes from Angel. She says, my husband no longer wants to attend church because he feels that people are too judgmental. I don't want to go alone and feel angry at him for not leading our family in a spiritual way. What should I do?
Well, first of all, he's probably right. Many people in church are way too judgmental. But she can't make him change. And so one of the things that has been so helpful to me, and I just will press this point, anytime I get an opportunity to today, is we are not really responsible for anybody other than ourselves. I mean, when it comes right down to it, we stand before God on Judgment Day. The Bible says in Romans 14 that every man will give an account of himself to God. Mm-hmm. And it has really helped me, especially in this area of not trying to change people or make them do what I want them to do, or, well, God, they're wrong, and why aren't you changing them, and blah, blah, blah. If her husband says he's not going to go to church, then she can pray, and she should continue going. And I would even tell him, you know what, you're right. Christians are too judgmental, but two wrongs don't make a right. And so maybe if he can't be happy where they're going, they need to both agree to try somewhere else, or to keep trying different things, because it is important for him to lead his family. But if he doesn't, that doesn't mean that she still can't have a good, godly family.
Right.
Because if the responsibility is being given to her and there's nothing she can do about it, God will give her the grace and he will anoint her with an extra portion to do what he's not willing to do.
That is great, because there are so many women who are feeling maybe anger because their husband isn't taking the spiritual lead that they want him to.
Right.
And so being able to leave that in God's hands for God to deal with him instead of us trying to deal with him is really
huge. And to be honest, if her husband not going to church and taking the lead role is wrong, she has to also realize that her anger is also wrong. So which is more wrong, what he's doing or my response to it?
Yeah.
And so let me say again, you know, we are not responsible for what people do. We are only responsible for how we respond and whether or not I'm going to stick with what the Word tells me to do. And so maybe she could look at it like, well, if he doesn't change, that's going to really be sad for him in the long run. So instead of being angry at him, pray that God would change his mind and don't nag him about it.
Yeah. Let me follow up on that a little bit. I'm curious then, what is a woman's role when a man is not taking that spiritual lead in the home that they should? Does the woman step up and help make that happen for her family? Does she stay back to give the husband the opportunity to? What's the answer
there? Well, I think you obviously have to step up. I mean, you can't, because you have to think about your children and what's going to... I give you a good example. My husband, Dave, lots of sisters and brothers, his dad was an alcoholic. And his mother was an extremely godly woman, worked hard. I mean, his dad knew the Bible, but there was something wrong inside of him. Dave says sometimes something must have happened to him when he was a child, because he just could never quit drinking. And Dave and every one of his brothers and sisters have just turned out great. They love God. They're responsible. They handle money well. And it was because of the mom.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I'm amazed at the problems that they don't have, because they were raised by an alcoholic father. But she never talked bad about him. She didn't have a spirit of unforgiveness and bitterness. And so I think if one half of the marriage is not doing what's right, the other half have to really make sure that their attitude is still godly, because good always triumphs over evil. So if you've got an evil half and a good half, the good is always going to win out. And, you know, I just think it's good to say right here, too, for single parents, I know a lot of times they feel like that there's no way things can turn out right with their kids. But let me tell you something. We get what we believe. And if you expect a double portion anointing to come on you from God to help you do what maybe you shouldn't even have to do, God can do that.
Yeah. That's encouraging, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is from Kelsey in Texas. She asks, what has been the hardest lesson for you in marriage that God has had to make you learn over and over until you finally pass the test?
That I can't change, Dave. that I can't change him. Nagging's not going to change him. Arguing's not going to change him. You just... Now, I'm not saying that he will never change his mind about something because I talked to him, or that he will never, you know, maybe do something for me that wouldn't be natural for him because I ask him to, because he definitely would. But I'm just saying that, you know, I'm a big talker. Dave is more quiet. I'm not going to make him talk a lot. And if he did, he'd probably talk about sports, and I don't care about that. So I'm, that's just one example. Yeah. You know, it's like you just cannot, people cannot change people. Only God can change people. And we are just so much better off if we take care of our issues and stop trying to change other people. So you ask for one thing and that's it.
Linda from Chicago asks, is it possible for our marriage to last if we don't share the same goals or have the same idea of the future?
Well, I guess that all depends on to what degree she's talking about. You know, I think that if attitudes are kept right, that God can change hearts. You know, when I first felt that God was calling me into ministry, to be honest, Dave just said, well, that's not what I want to do. That's just not what I want to do. And I really felt that God put in my heart, and believe me, I didn't know that much about hearing from God back then. I really felt that God just put in my heart, you do what I've put in your heart to do. Keep your attitude good, and I'll take care of Dave. And it was literally only 3 weeks. And Dave came to me and he said, you know, God has really shown me that you do have an anointing on your life to do this, and so I just want you to know that I'll back you up whatever you do.
Wow.
Let's remember that God can change a person's heart the way he can change the water courses. And instead of thinking about these things that we cannot agree on, and opening up the door in your mind that that's going to be the end of the marriage, try to locate some things you do agree on and maybe make those the focal point, and then each of you do, you know what you need to do. I mean, if one person may have one dream and one person may have another, and, you know, this weekend I need to spend most of the weekend writing on a writing project I'm trying to finish, and I told Dave this morning, I said, I'm going to be pretty busy writing for the next 3 days, and he said, okay. And so what he'll do is just now go find something that he wants to do. I think a lot of this still comes back to not giving somebody else the responsibility for your joy and knowing who you are in Christ, that you don't have to have it a certain way in order to have a good day or to be happy.
Yeah, yeah, very important. All right, next question. My husband and I have been married 8 years. Lately, it's been really difficult. We both have a lot of faults, and it's seeming the easy way is to separate. So what should we do about this situation?
Well, you know, it's kind of hard to give an answer to something like that when I don't even really know what the whole problem is. I mean, I wouldn't recommend separating, but to be honest, in some instances, it's good to get away from each other for a little bit just to kind of get your focus back and get some proper counseling maybe. And you know, I certainly wouldn't say we need to just throw the marriage in the trash can because we're having a difficult time getting along. You know, Dave and I went through some difficult times, and I remember one time in specific, I mean, I can still see exactly where we're at in the house, when, you know, he just said to me, you know, if you continue to behave the way you do, because I was pretty hard to get along with, he said, I can't guarantee what I'm going to need to do in the future. Well, that kind of scared me, and so I tried really hard for a year to be good. And I, you know, by good, I mean not talking back, not, you know, trying to make him feel good about himself and stuff. And after a year, I said, so I just want to know, how do you feel about me now? And he said, better. You know, but we still had a ways to go.
Yeah.
So I just think that every relationship, it's easy to give up. It's easy to say we cannot make this work, but if, I mean, it's the woman, I guess, that's asking the question. So if she will go to God and say, what do you want me to do to help make this situation better? We have to stop, and I know I keep going over the same stuff again, but it's such a key.
It's a good reminder,
You know, we have to stop refusing to do what we know is right because somebody else is not doing what's right. And I believe that, first of all, whoever does what's right first is the stronger, more mature believer. And secondly, you know, sometimes you have to treat a person right for a long time before you start to reap in that field that you've been sowing in. But when you get right down to it, the life that we live here is very short compared to eternity. And so we need to think more about eternity. And that, you know, I want to make a decision about this marriage based on what I'm going to be comfortable standing before God and giving an answer for. Wow. So yeah. If I do what's right and that never satisfies the other person and they decide they want to do something else, there's nothing I can do about that, but I'm going to do what's right by the grace and the mercy of God and let God do what only He can do.
Yeah, good. Sheila from Oklahoma says, my hubby and I have been married 25 years. I know he loves me and I love him. I struggle with one thing. I am not his priority and neither is God. He loves us both and he is a believer, but work always takes a priority. What advice do you have?
Well, that's a tough one because a lot of people that is the case. I mean, they get so wrapped up in their job and I think about the only thing you can do in that situation is pray. Mm-hmm. And if the door is open at the right time, you know, there's nothing wrong with sitting down trying to communicate and just saying, you know, I know that you love me, but to be honest, I don't feel that I'm your priority. And I want God to be number one and I want to be before your job. But if he can't see it, if he's not going to do it, there's nobody that can make him do it. And the best thing to do is just go to God and get your confidence and your security from him. And sounds to me like she's committed to the relationship. She said, my hubby and I have been married 25 years. The very fact that she called him hubby tells me that she's pretty committed and loves him. And so if somebody else is not making you happy, then make yourself happy. Decide that you're going to be happy and trust God in the meantime. Trusting God is one part of having a prayer answered. Praying about it, trusting God. But the other part is what I'm doing in the meantime. You know, I love Psalm 37:3, which says, trust in the Lord and do good.
Yeah.
And see, I think so many people trust God, they say they trust God, but then they're not doing what's right. If we depend on God to meet our needs instead of people, then He can always give us what we need. But it's very important while we're trusting God that we keep doing what's right. And actually, to be honest, I just feel so strongly about this. I mean, I can't even tell you how strong I feel about it. It's like we talked about Dave's mom and, you know, how all those kids turned out so good. Well, she trusted God, but she kept doing what was right. And so even though her husband didn't change and give her what she wanted, she has an extremely fruitful life and so much to be proud of in her children. And so you trust God, do what's right, and everything's going to come around full circle, and you're going to have a good life.
Yeah. Here's a great question to end on, a really good way to wrap everything up. Linda says, you and Dave have been married for a long time and have a strong and thriving marriage. Can you give us your reasons why you think your marriage has been so successful?
Well, I think it's successful because we stopped trying to change each other. And I think it's successful because we're both committed to doing what we believe God would want us to do. You know, God is first in mine and Dave's life, not each other. God is first. And we depend on the Word of God. We both, and soon as Dave and I get up in the morning, first thing we do is go to our places and spend time with God. And you can't, we don't look at somebody else's marriage and think, well, I wish this and that and something else. You know, I mean, I know couples that can sit for hours and just talk night after night after night. Well, that's not going to happen with me and Dave. I mean, don't misunderstand me. We talk and we, you know, but he's just not, I mean, Dave can get finished talking about something in a couple of minutes where I might want to talk about it all day. And you have to stop wanting what you don't have and be thrilled about what God has given you and make that the best. And so I remember years ago when Dave and I actually shook hands and I looked at him and said, I accept you the way you are. And he looked at me and said, and I accept you the way you are. And that was the beginning of us having longevity in our relationship.
Yeah. And the two of you are very, very different people. I mean, your personalities are so different.
Oh,
they're hilarious. I mean, they are like Lucy and Desi when you hang out with them.
Yeah, right.
You're very, very funny. But it really is great to see the way that God has taken what you need in your life and given you Dave.
Right, absolutely.
And taken what he needed and given him you. Because it's something that we can never put together on our own. God sees so
much
more than we do.
And to be honest, a lot of the things that we used to fight about, argue about, now we just both think are funny. I mean, Dave thinks that I am hilarious. And I mean, like, if I get snippy with him, he'll just sit and laugh and say, well, there's that old fire. That's the reason why I married you.
Does that work? How's that make you feel when you're...
Well, you know, we both just end up laughing. He's like, you know, I mean, obviously, if I would go too far or something, he would say, okay, knock it off. But we probably laugh more together now than we ever have in our whole marriage. And I'm telling you the truth, when we get to heaven, we are going to be laughing about a lot of the things that we fought about that were so non-essential and so ridiculous.
Yeah,
and so do all you can to enjoy every day that you have and to really enjoy the people that God has put in your life. And stop just being a fault finder that can never be happy no matter what somebody gives you.
Yeah. Well, it's very encouraging. Thank you for sharing your years of experience and what God's Word says about our marriages.
Well, today, as always, we have an offer for you of the Word of God. That is the best thing that I know to give you. I will always put a heavy focus on the Word of God. And that's the reason why Dave and I are still married after 50 years, is the Word of God. And so we're offering you two teachings today on marriage. And this interview that we had today will be one of them. And they're both on CD and DVD, so that means both of them you can listen to and or you can watch. This is a great gift to give to somebody if you know that they have needs in their life. And we're offering this to you today for your gift to the ministry of any amount. We're not saying send in this much or that much. We want to make it available to everybody that would like to have it. And so this is a way for you to get a real blessing yourself and at the same time be a blessing to the ministry. So thank you for being with us. Make today a great one.
Today, we're offering a complete version of Joyce's powerful teaching about marriage. Joyce and Dave have been married for 50 years, and this special teaching on marriage is full of biblical precepts and practical insights from a lifetime of serving the Lord together. Whether you're single, engaged, newlywed, or married for many years, this message has something for everyone. This CD and DVD set can be yours today for a gift of any amount, and it's also available as a digital download. Contact us now, 1-800-727-9673, or visit us at joycemeyer.org.
You know, God's plan is not always our plan, and His ways are not our ways, and His timing is not our timing. And I just felt like I really needed to encourage you that God is your answer and His Word is your answer. It's not just about asking God to help you. It's about learning His Word. Because if you don't know the Word of God, then you don't know the ways of God. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And honestly, I have found out over 35 years of diligently studying the Word of God that the Bible actually has an answer for every single problem that we have.
Some mornings, everything just goes right. Others, not so much. But let's face it, how you wake up each morning has a tremendous impact on your day. That's why Joyce wants you to wake up to the Word. 365 devotionals featuring one word, a Bible verse, and a scripture-based encouragement that will strengthen your walk with God one day at a time. Wake up to the Word, a new devotional by Joyce Meyer. Pick it up today. The Bible, our instruction book for life. Spending time in God's Word will change our lives, but consistent and effective study can be challenging. That's one reason why Joyce is here to help. At joycemeyer.org/Bible study, you'll find ways to make your study time come to life with helpful resources, study suggestions, and encouragement from Joyce. Get the most you can studying God's Word with everyday study. Sign up today at joycemeyer.org/Bible study.